men blind from birth, and the only one who saw his worth didn't pass him by. He heard his cry. He rubbed his eyes with a handful of clay. Then he said, go and wash in the pool today. And that blind man knew that's what he had to do. And I know along the way he couldn't help but trip and fall. But each time he got back up again. And I wondered if he thought
that tonight is Fifth Sunday Singing. We do this 3 times a year. If you have a song, you have to run this by Sister Tierney. find out what our platform standards are. But tonight after the service, we'll have food. So I'm asking all of you, please bring finger foods. It's a great time of fellowship. We have songs and testimonies. It's a beautiful spirit during these services. Praise the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord that He has everything under His control? He's God. Doesn't really matter what we think about it. Doesn't matter if we feel like it's according to our time or not. God knows what He's doing. That's a word for somebody in this house today. May not be according to your time, because our clock runs on a completely different clock than God's. God knows. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss all of our children age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. You have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The praise report, the great testimonies coming forth from School of Ministry, traveling from church to church, has just been astounding. I've had pastors call me and text me, and just they're amazed. Even from last year at the growth, the spiritual growth in our young adults, they were just blown away. So thank you for your prayers. It's been constantly going up for our young people. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again that we can come into the sanctuary, the place, the meeting place between God and man. Lord, I know this is a special time in our lives, especially in the dispensation of the age of grace. Signs of the times are everywhere. Lord, you're about to come back for your church. We ask you today that you would quicken us, make us alive. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us by your Spirit. Let the Word of God come alive to us. Change us and transform us today. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Taking my text from verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the power of now. The power of now. Human nature has this mentality that seems to run from the very first generation all the way to our current generation, and it is this: why do today what you can put off tomorrow? You know, we are a people of procrastination. We put things off, and we put it off to another time, another day, another hour. The fact of the problem is most people, to some degree or another, have a problem with procrastination. Some procrastination is not as detrimental as other forms of procrastination. But there are things that you and I can procrastinate about. And whenever opportunities come our way, if you don't seize the moment, seize the opportunity, then it'll pass you by. And I'm going to tell you something about opportunity. Once it moves past you, you can never get it back again. You know, they say you can never get a second chance to make a first impression. What does that mean? That means only one time are you going to meet somebody for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things about an opportunity. Once it passes, yes, there may be similar instances that come your way, but there are times that opportunity won't look the same as it did before. You and I must have spiritual eyes to see. Holy Ghost of God, we pray. Harvest Time Church prays today that you would give us discernment to see the opportunities that we are to seize, seizing the moments, because opportunities will pass you and they'll never come again. The Greek word for opportunity is kairos, meaning something is time sensitive. Listen, we're all products of time. Time is the most valuable thing that we have. Every day, time is slipping away. Every day, things are changing. We only have one life, ladies and gentlemen. And James said, life is a vapor. It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what you do, you must have the mind of God, because we don't want to waste anything in this life. We only have one life, and God wants us to seize the moment. I was thinking about seizing every opportunity. I was thinking about Troy Aikman, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Troy Aikman won 3 Super Bowls while he played for the Dallas Cowboys. Today, he is a sports commentator. He moderates the games, and he talks about the different plays and the different players. There is no doubt, with all of Troy Aikman's success, he still probably thinks about, man, if I could just go back, I would have done some things different. I would have worked a little harder. I could have worked on this aspect of my game. I would have worked more on my diet and exercise. It doesn't matter what he must think about thinking back to the past. He can never go back to the past. You see, he had a window of opportunity, and Troy Aikman's window is over with. He had a good run. All he can think about is what used to be, how it used to go on. But I'm going to tell you, it's the same way with you and I. God gives us a window, an opportunity. And whenever he gives you that time and that opportunity, you must seize the moment. The Greek god of opportunity was said to be covered in hair. I've told this story before. Someone was walking through a museum in the East, and they saw this statue with wings on its feet and hair covering its face. And it was called the Greek god of opportunity. It was covered from head to toe and front, covered with hair. You could not identify the face, and it was bald in the back. So as opportunity approaches, you are not quite sure what you were dealing with. And once it passed, there was nothing that you could grab in order to hold it. Think about this. The Greek god opportunity had hair covering its face, so you couldn't identify it whenever it was coming your way. But it was bald in the back, so once it began to pass, you could not grab it. It's the same way, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to our life. We must understand that moments come just one time, and we must seize the moment of opportunity. As I begin to look at all the things that God has done at Harvest Time Church, I'm amazed. I'm as amazed as anyone else. I'm amazed at the building program, the growth, the moving of God's Spirit. I'm amazed at Harvest Time Christian Academy and our teachers and our students. I'm amazed at Harvest Time School of Ministry and the miracles that has taken place and healings in this church. I'm amazed at the missions that we have supported and what God has done. I'm amazed at the outreach. I'm thinking about all these things. And I was thinking about the moments that we could have let opportunity pass us by, but we seized the moment. Have I missed opportunities? Absolutely, positively. I've missed many opportunities, but I think about the times that you have to seize the opportunity. What about the times we want absolute certainty before we step out? You know, many people say this, Brother Matt, if I just knew, if God would just show me, I could step out in faith. Well, that's not faith. Do you hear me? If I could just know, if God would just show me point A, point B, point C, and he would just show me, I would step out and I would believe God for a miracle. I can tell you, you can forget about it, because God is not going to show you. He wants you to step out in faith on the water, believing and trusting in him. If you can see it, it is not faith. You got to learn to trust in the Lord. I'm talking to somebody today that you're not wanting to take a risk. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you that sometimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It is spelled risk. When you don't take a risk, you don't get the reward. Listen, if you want to move into the realm of the supernatural and to begin to experience the miracles of God, you're going to have to take a risk. You're going to have to get out of the boat. You're going to have to trust God. It may be afraid. It may be frightening, but if your dream's not big enough to scare you, it's probably not big enough. And if you wait too long, you can miss your destiny. I'm here this morning to tell you there's a time to wait. I understand that. The Bible says wait on the Lord, but there's also a time to seize the moment. And you need to get discernment. You need to get the mind of God. And I'm here to tell somebody, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. You need to stop worrying about the past and stop looking too far into the future. God is an on-time God. He's a now God. If we can trust and believe, we can receive the miracle today. Somebody needs to get that in their spirit. God is a now God. As I begin to think about the power of now, I think of the woman who anointed the head of Jesus in Mark chapter 14. You all know the story. What a beautiful story it is. This woman was getting ready for the burial of Christ. The Bible said that she brought an alabaster box and she's weeping. She's in the mode of worship. This alabaster box full of ointment was worth 300 pence. That was equivalent to 1 year's wages in this time. She comes to Jesus and she breaks the box. The Bible said that she poured it on the head of Jesus. She's anointing him. It's a form of worship. It's the highest level. And the disciples, whenever they saw this, they begin to think about the waste that took place. Man, she just now wasted all of this oil. And they got real spiritual. You know, that's how church folks do. They get real spiritual whenever you talk about money. And you know, they look at Jesus and they said, this ointment could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Well, Jesus said, let her alone. Oh, he said, this woman has wrought a good work on me. And wherever the gospel is preached, tell about this woman. Wherever you go, what he was saying is, I enjoyed the worship. I connected with the worship. I'm going to tell you something. God still longs for the people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Some of us need to get our minds off of today and tomorrow and begin to meditate on Christ and Christ alone. Worship him in spirit and in truth, and God will move by his spirit again. Wherever the gospel is preached, speak of what she did. Let me ask you a question. What do you think caused this woman to do this? What do you think caused this woman to desire to break the alabaster box? I believe she had an urgency inside of her that caused her to think, if I don't do this now, I may never get a chance again. Hear me today. This woman had an urgency. She knew that opportunity was going to pass her by. She knew that Jesus was going to that cross. I'm going to tell you, you and I begin to, we need to stop looking at everything with a temporal eye and start looking at everything through eyes fixed on eternity. You get one chance, one opportunity. She said within herself, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity to worship my Savior. I'm going to break the, somebody in this house needs to make up their mind. I'm going to break the box today. I'm going to pour out my love on the body of Christ. I'm going to worship the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Harvest Time Church, now is the time to break open the box. It's the power of now, and God wants to move in that breaking. Think about it. Wherever she went, Jesus said, preach this, tell about it, the power of now. Do you remember the first miracle of Jesus in John chapter 2, whenever he turned the water into wine? Jesus and his mother Mary and the disciples were invited to the wedding, Cana of Galilee. The Bible said that they ran out of wine. And whenever they had no wine, the mother of Jesus came to him and said, she said, they have no wine. In verse number 4 of chapter 2, Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you to do, do it. You see, mama knew that he was about to thrust into ministry. And the Bible said, as you read, that he told them to fill the water pots full of water. You know the story. A miracle was taking place, and the water was turned into wine. And the Bible said, and this is the best part of it to me, in verse number 10, it says, as they began to drink, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until when? Now. Not at the end. Why was it until now? Well, first of all, wine, in order for it to be alcoholic, it has to ferment. This was new wine. There was no alcohol, so I'll go ahead and settle that right here and right now. If the Bible preaches against alcohol, if Proverbs says wine is a monker and strong drink is raging, if Galatians says to the church, not to the world, that all drunkards are going to have their part in a lake of fire, don't you say my Jesus was a wine bibber. He was the Holy Son of God. He was sinless. He was clean. He was pure. But they came to Jesus and said, you kept the best wine until now. You ever heard the statement, we'll save the best till last? What about saving the best till now? What about saving the best till right here, right now? Sometimes I'm on a diet every once in a while. I'm 45 years old. I try to keep down as lean as I can. But every once in a while, I'll talk myself into cheating on my diet. I'll say, you know what? What if I don't make it till tomorrow? I want to go get me a ribeye steak with a baked potato, ranch dressing with rolls from Roadhouse with that cinnamon butter. Come on. You know what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you today is, it's a now God. We need to stop living in the future and stop living in the past. What we have today is the day before us. Somebody needs to let faith arise in their heart for today. God is a God of today. He's a God of miracles, and he's waiting on us to believe. Save the best for last. How about the best for now? If we're not careful, we can live our entire lives that way, thinking the blessing for revival, the move of God, the miracle you need, the answer to your prayers, always out there one day coming in the future. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being optimistic. There's nothing wrong with hope in your heart going, I believe it's going to get better. I do believe those things, and I stay in that state. But let me tell you, I believe oftentimes to our own demise, we're constantly looking to the future. One day, later on. But listen, God is alive today. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father right here, right now, ever living to make intercession for the people of God. What we need to do is let faith arise in our heart for right now. I'm telling you, somebody in this house is on the brink of a miracle, but you've got to believe God for today, right now. God will do that sometimes. I'm talking about the future. He'll save the best for last, but sometimes he saves the best for now. We need to be careful we're not living 10 years into the future. We can live in victory right now. We can have revival right now. We can be changed right now. Your marriage can be restored right now. Listen, if you have an addiction, God can deliver you right now. Breakthroughs can happen right now. Come on, church. I'm telling you, whatever you have need of, you don't have to leave this place with a need. If thou canst believe, the Bible said all things are possible to them that believe. Listen, for you to think that your faith will work in the future, praise God, it will. But it will. He wants to work in us and through us right now. The enemy wants to distract us from the power of believing. He said, the governor, you've kept the good wine until right now. God's best for you is not in the past, and it's not in the future. It is now. I'm going to say it again. God's best for you is not in the past, not in the future, but it is right now. I'm going to tell you another story. What about the story of Lazarus? Lazarus and Mary and Martha were very close to Jesus. You know the story. The Bible said that Lazarus got very, very sick. They sent for Jesus to come and to heal Lazarus. You ever sent for Jesus and he didn't come? I have. I've sent for him. I've cried out to him. And it just seemed like he was late. He didn't come on the scene until after destruction had came. This is exactly what happened. They cried out for the Lord and he didn't come. He was 4 days late. They buried Lazarus in the tomb. And when Jesus finally makes his appearance, the sister, one of the sisters, Martha, said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, If you'd have listened to us, if you'd have came when we cried out to you, our brother had not have died. He would be alive today. Listen to the response of Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Listen to me. If you want to accuse Martha of not having faith, you better look again. Martha had faith in the past. She knew that if Jesus would have showed up, he would have healed Lazarus. She knew it. She knew that God was a healer. She had watched him operate before. She knew that he was a God of miracles. And listen, she even made a positive statement in the future. Whenever she said, "If you'd have been here, I know you could do it. I know he'd be alive." And Jesus said, "Your brother shall rise again." And she said, "I know," this is faith, "he'll rise again in the resurrection." So she had faith in the past, "If you'd have been here," and she had faith in the future, "I know it's going to happen." But here's the issue Martha had. She had faith for the past and the future, but she did not have faith for the present. Oh, there's a lot of people in the church world today who know all the cliches of religion and healing and the Word of God. They talk about the revivals of past. They talk about what God did and all the mighty miracles that God has done in the past and what he's going to do in the future. Praise God for the testimony of the miraculous hand of God. But the problem is they don't believe that he can do it right now, right here, and for them. I got news for you. He's still on the throne and he's waiting on somebody to believe him for a miracle. We are just one step away from a miracle, but somebody's got to get up. Somebody's got to get out of the boat. Somebody's got to believe God. It all comes down to your faith. She had faith for the past and for the future, but not for the present. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What he was saying is, right now, Martha, I know you believe in the past and in the future, but I'm here today and he's still here among us. Oh, he's moved somewhere in the shadows of your trial and your pain and your adversities. You will find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. What we need to do is decide when we're going to quit saying one day and start believing for today. One day I'm going to get my marriage fixed. Ooh, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to stop losing my temper. I'm going to start taking out the trash. I'm going to start mowing the grass like I should. Oh, listen, no, don't worry about one day. What about today? Today's the first day of the rest of your life. One day I'm going to work through these problems. One day. Whenever you have that mentality, one day becomes the next day and the next day. I told you about the sign that you go into the ice cream parlor and it said "free ice cream tomorrow" on the glass window. Wow, let's come tomorrow. They came and they read the sign again, "free ice cream tomorrow." That's the procrastinator. He's always doing the next day. It's always another day. God, the Holy Ghost, will deal with you. He'll convict your heart and you say, "I'm going to get this thing right Monday morning." Monday morning comes and you wait till the next Monday morning. And it's always another day. One day I'm going to work through these problems. One day I'm going to take time for my family. You know, family is so important. And we think, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm going to stop putting everything above God and family. I'm about to change this thing. Let me tell you something. That opportunity won't last you very long. You got to change it right here, right now. God wants us to get our priorities right. Do you hear me? It's time to get our priorities right. If we'll begin to get that thing in line. My Bible said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Can somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? If we will seek him first, he will bless us more than we could ever imagine. God's best for you is not in the past, It's in the future. God's best. Listen to me. The power of now is essential for every one of us. Right now is where the power lies. The right now, and right now is the key to releasing miracles in your life. Try to spell now backwards. Anybody know what that is? One. You're thinking, Brother Gregory, you're brilliant. No, I'm dyslexic. Try spelling now backwards. It is won. We must live knowing the battle is already won. Do you hear me? I said Jesus has already won the battle. He's already won the victory, and we just need to stand in it. My late pastor was such a man of God, such a man of faith. He would have problems in his physical body, never went to the doctor for 40-something years. He didn't condemn anyone else, but he said, listen, if I can't believe for the blood, the stripes that he bore on his back to heal my body, how can I believe for the blood that he shed to cleanse my sins? How can you argue with that? But this man said he used to talk to his body. He'd say, body, line up with the word of God. You're healed. The Bible said you're healed. Line up with the word of God. Listen, it's time that we understand the battle is already won. Even if you can't see it, God's already won the battle. It's time to praise the Lord now. Not actually when we see the change. It's time to trust God now, not when we understand everything. Decide to believe God now, not when the manifestation comes. That's what faith is. I'm going to go back to Hebrews 11:1. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me just make it, let me break it down for you real simple like. Faith is now. It's not later on. It's right here, right now. And none of us in this house or anyone watching by Facebook are promised another day, a week, a month, or a year. It's time that we get everything right today. Get our faith right today. Believe God today. Whatever you need to fix, fix it right now. If you remember, when Jesus died, he died between two thieves. If you could represent both of these thieves, I would say one would be represented as yesterday, and one would be represented as someday. Remember, one of them cursed him and said so many harsh things to Jesus, and the other one said, remember me one day when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. But I'm going to, just for the sake of making a point, I want to think of one thief as yesterday and one as someday. Both of them can steal your joy. Do you hear me? Some of you have allowed the thief of yesterday and the thief of someday to steal your joy. You're living either in the past or you're living in the future. You're thinking about all the mistakes that you made, the sins that have been committed, and what you could have done different. Listen, it's time for you to let that mess go. My Bible said to press toward the mark. Forget those things. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, the past will steal your joy, and constantly living in the future, wondering what's going to happen there, and maybe one day I'll get this right. Both of them can steal your joy, but whenever you make up your mind, you're going to stop living in the past and the future, and you start living in today, I'm going to tell you it'll change everything. Oh, listen, your children are growing up before your face. What you need to do is enjoy them. Oh, when I retire one day, listen, you better thank God you can still work. Most of the time, whenever you retire, everything goes downhill anyway. Can I get a witness in this house? Listen, today, enjoy, relish, cling to every moment, every opportunity when it comes to witnessing to the lost, when it comes to digging in the Word of God and praying, when it comes to loving people. Listen to me, there are times that people are hurting. Maybe they had a loved one die, or maybe they're going through a traumatic, financial, stressful time. There's only one time to really get a hold of them and help them. And if you miss that opportunity, it moves past Listen to me. The power of now is a powerful element. We must understand and discern the moments of opportunity. Listen to me today. Don't allow yesterday and someday to steal your joy. If you're not careful in how you think and what you think about, you will crucify today between those two thieves. Listen to me. The past is the past, church. I said the past is the past. It's done. You will never get it back. But if you allow it, that thief will steal your joy today by getting you to live in the past of shame and mistakes. Can someone come to the piano? The thief of yesterday and someday is robbing many in the church of power, of life, unction. The thief of procrastination. I'll change it later. I can get it right later. There's a lot of people who had good intentions to do things later that never did it because they ran out of time. The opportunity passed them by. Listen to me today. The Holy Ghost is such a precious, precious thing. He is the third person of the triune Godhead. No man or woman, boy or girl, can come into God unless the Spirit of God draws an individual. When you feel conviction, that is an opportunity that you must seize. I remember as a boy growing up in the Assemblies of God, and I'm telling you, we had some great churches in South Mississippi. I mean, those preachers preached, and the Holy Ghost moved. And I still remember my pastor as a boy preaching, the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. He'd look into that crowd, and Brother Anthony Jackson would say, he said, if you miss your opportunity, you may not ever have another opportunity. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And I remember that as a boy, that was ingrained, imprinted into my spirit. And through the years, I got away from God. I backslid, moved away from God, and for years and years, I did not feel the convicting work of the Holy Ghost. I did not feel the wooing of the Spirit of the Lord anymore. And I thought to myself, I am doomed forever because I was bound by sin. I was in chains and shackles and I could not free myself. And I knew as a backslidden Assembly of God boy, I knew that only the anointing could destroy that yoke. I knew that. And I knew that I no longer felt the Holy Ghost and I felt like I had sinned away my day of grace. I cannot tell you the many times I cried myself to sleep because I missed precious opportunities as a young man. I'd wasted my high school years in sin, transgression. I wasted all those opportunities. Every time God would deal with me and tug at my heart, I pushed him away. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And the thought of lost opportunity haunted me as a backslidden boy. I would think about how long eternity is, and there's no way the human mind can comprehend eternity. There's no possible way. The Puritans tried their best to describe eternity with a very good illustration. They said, if a bird from the cosmos was to fly from the East Coast, from the West Coast of America, from California all the way to the East Coast, once every 10,000 years and gather one grain of sand from the East Coast and fly it back to the West Coast and drop it off every 10,000 or 100,000 years. They said after all of the sand had been emptied off of the East Coast, eternity would have just begun. Let that sink in just for a moment. Eternity. Eternity should drive every single one of us. When I thought about opportunity passing me by and knowing that I would spend eternity in the caverns of the damned in hell where the soul never dies. The memory and the imagination, it's alive. It's not only alive, it's more alive than what your soul is right now. It's so alive, it's immortal forever. Your memory and your imagination would constantly be going back to all the times of every opportunity, every time. Every time that you felt the convicting work of the Holy Ghost, every time you heard the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Every time you read the Word of God, every time someone witnessed, every time you heard the Word of God preached under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and every opportunity you let walk right by you, listen, it'll haunt the lost forever and ever and ever. Every time God dealt with you and I. Can you imagine just for a moment? The could have, the would have, the should have, if I could just go back, but I can't. That is haunting. And as a young, backslidden, similar God boy, I knew, I tell everybody, yeah, I'm going to hell, and I know it. The difference is I know I'm going and you don't. A lot of religious people think they're saved and they're not. Salvation is, first of all, having a divine encounter with a supernatural God, getting washed in the precious blood of Jesus. There is no other way outside of the cross, outside of the blood. And then you come into a relationship, a daily walk with Christ. You don't know how to be saved and stay saved? First, you come to the cross and He forgives you when there's true repentance, and then you walk with Him daily. But that opportunity haunted me. But God gave me another opportunity. Can we stand? Here's the opportunity He gave me. 1996. A few months before, I'd almost had a drug overdose. That was not my intentions, but that's never the intentions of somebody who almost overdoses. I didn't even do those type of things. I just got too intoxicated, and then smoking marijuana, which when one was a gateway and another, and all my senses were dulled. Then I started doing cocaine and LSD. And that night, whenever I felt like I was having a heart attack, probably sometime in January, of 1996. I thought I was going to have a heart attack that night, and there was nothing that I could do. You know, everybody lays everything on the line of deathbed repentance, and everybody thinks that everybody that repents or says that they're, Lord, forgive me, on their bedside, that everybody's in heaven. You better think again. Not everybody who says the prayer is in heaven. Who's there and who's not, only God knows. But no man can come unto God unless the Spirit of God draws that man. You can't just say words. You have to be drawn by the Spirit. There has to be a supernatural transaction in the heavens. Hear me. I'm telling you, a lot of people have prayed a prayer on their deathbed that they no more meant it than anything. But they let hundreds of opportunities pass them. Every time the Holy Ghost dealt with them, they let it pass by. Other times, people get saved on their deathbed. The Holy Ghost deals with them, and you can see it. And only God knows who really got saved and who didn't. But I was there, and I was dying. And I knew within a couple hours, within a few minutes to a couple hours, I would be in hell. I'd spend my first night in hell. I knew that. And I looked up at the clock while I was overdosing, and it said 11 p.m. at night. I looked down a couple of times. I looked up, and it was 4 a.m. I never went to sleep. I was out of it. I was dying. I was about to spend my first night in hell. Because I had let every opportunity pass me by. Played games. Wanted the world. I was in love with the world. I thought, well, I'll just do a couple things. I'm young. I want to have a good time. I want to experience. I'll get right later. I was so close to hell. I was about to be in hell from my first night. And then forever and ever. And here's what I could think about. This is what filled my mind. Missed opportunity after missed opportunity after missed opportunity. Tomorrow's not your opportunity. Today's your opportunity. It's now. I got saved a few months later. God let me live that night. I still didn't feel conviction the next day. And as I began to talk to a young lady on the phone, y'all know the story, I began to tell a story about the rapture. That's why it's so important to preach on the imminent return of Christ to all of our kids. I'm going to tell you, preach it so much so that they think it's about to happen right here, right now. Because it could. I was lost just a few weeks later after this incident. I was talking to a young lady and I said, can you imagine the rapture of the church taking place and us missing it, missing the opportunity? And I began to make up a detailed story about the rapture. I said, can you imagine this taking place and this? And I began to tremble for the first time under conviction for the first time in years. I'm trembling. I felt conviction. And I began to weep. And she said, what is wrong with you? She was crying too, but she said, are you feeling what I'm feeling? And I said, I got to go. And here's what happened to me. The power of God was all over me. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, trembling. And in my mind, I felt the Spirit of God speak to me and say, this is your last chance. But it was a warning, but it was the voice of love saying, I'm about to save you, son. And in my mind, I knew I'm about to respond to the convicting work of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way I can describe it was waves of glory. From the bottom of my feet all the way to the top of my head, waves of glory. I could not handle the power of God moving on me. I had not even said the sinner's prayer repentance yet. How can I explain that? I can't explain it. But I'm going to tell you, I felt the power of God. I felt life, the river of God moving through me. In my mind, I knew I was about to ask the Lord to forgive me. And then my dad walked in the room. I'm on the edge of my bed. I'm rocking over like this. And he said, what is wrong with you? And I said, I feel conviction. I ain't felt it for years. I feel the Holy Ghost moving on me again. What an opportunity. And I said, I'm fixing to seize the moment. And I wrapped my arms around Jesus. I fell down at his feet and I cried out to God. And he cleansed me in his precious blood. And I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Hear me. The time is now. It's not tomorrow. Not next week. I'm tired of playing games in the light of eternity. Listen, it's time that we get serious about eternity, church. There's some here in this room this morning. You're not here by accident. For you have said another day or another hour, I will come. Today, saith the Lord, I am tired of your procrastination. There will come a time I'll no longer woo you by my spirit. Today, saith the Lord, run to me and I will open my arms of mercy. I will transform you by my spirit, saith the Lord. Today is the day, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands and just worship the Lord. It's not worth holding on to anything. Some of you are going to be held back this morning because something's got a hold of you. Some of you are being held back because something's got a hold of you or you got a hold of it. You better let go. If that's you, you need to get saved. I want you to get out of your pew quickly. Get down to this altar. quickly, get out of your pew. Get out of your pew. If you need to make it right between you and the Lord, quickly, don't hesitate. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Listen, it's going to be a lot more difficult. The Holy Ghost may not be with you in that car. He may not be with you tonight in dealing with you. He's dealing with you now. Come to the Lord. Come ahead, young man. God's dealing with him. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Oh, God. Thank God. Hallelujah. There's more here. What love, what mercy. What love, what mercy.
I have been waiting.
Maybe you didn't go as far as I did. Maybe you're a very good individual in the eyes of man, but you're not walking in an intimate relationship with Jesus. You need to come down here. You need to make it right. Oh, yes, Lord. More coming.
Come to me, you weary one.
God is good.
And I will.
Some of you are so weighted down. It's hard to get up. It's hard to move out. But if you'll make that step, you'll feel like a field pack lifted off your back. The weight of this world. You see, it's so important to step out. Because you're showing the devil, the world, yourself, God, the angels, that you're going to make that change. Is there anyone else before we give this general altar call? Don't walk out of here with regret. He's waiting on you. Don't walk out of here with regret. He's waiting on you. I'm going to wait just a minute longer. Move out of your pew and come. I'm going to pray with you today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give a general altar call. Who in this place is not guilty of procrastination? I'm guilty. As a pastor, as a Christian, as a father, as a husband, I'm guilty myself. I've let many opportunities pass me by, but I've got to make up my mind, as you do today, that we're going to seize the moment. I want you to come down here. I want everyone to come, that you can make your way down to this altar or in these first two or three pews. Got a lot of room down here in the front. And what we're going to pray is that God would open our eyes of discernment. Do you hear me? We need to have our eyes of discernment opened, that we can see the right opportunities. Now, I want to say this before we pray. Not everything is a God-given opportunity. Some are meant to distract you. That's why we're going to pray for discernment, to see what is the God-given opportunities. Amen? Let's bind together. Let's ask the Lord to help us to have discernment. I want you to pray for these that have come down.
Give you peace. you broken one, and I will give you peace. I will give you peace. I will calm your waters. I will whisper, peace be still. So take me upon you, and I will give you peace.